what I can say is that people here will see if you work hard. And that's what, like I said, I'm nothing special, but I work really hard. And this is my passion. So if you can demonstrate to these people that you will work really hard and that you'll dedicate a certain portion of your life to this, I don't see why, with all of you being very exceptional people, why they wouldn't at least consider giving you a contract after this.
All right. Well, welcome to the reality check with Nate and Kyle. Oh, wait a minute.
Are you Nate?
I would be Nate. You would be Kyle, I would imagine.
Well, lacking in height there.
That's a connection I think most people would make. Sorry, this is not the reality check. We will be talking about a reality show today, though, on As the Heel Turns, the latest episode. Joining me in the booth, not the most beautiful man in the pro wrestling podcast world, Connor Dorion is on vacation. Connor, I hope you're somewhere having fun. You're probably not having as much fun as us, though, because I'm here with Dario Pop Passarelli, star of this show and the Pop and Joe show.
How could I be having any fun when you just call me not the most not beautiful man in the world?
You're not the most beautiful man in the pro
Don't
wrestling
Don't double,
podcast
triple
world.
Negative me. You're insulting me yet again,
I'm
Big Al.
I'm not sure what I just said. And that's right. I am Alexander Big Al K. Lee. And joining us in the booth are two special guests who we'll get to later. Should I introduce them now? Or
Yeah, go ahead.
They are Pop's boys. Oh, Alex, good. The other Alex. We'll call him Little Al for the sake of confusion. He's not little. I'm just saying he's younger relative to myself.
Yeah, that's me, Little Alex.
And JP. JP, just come up to the mic for a second and say hello.
Hello.
Okay, great. So we'll be getting some input from them later. But first of all, the source of my confusion, we have decided to cover the WWE reality contest Tough Enough. So
well, you looked at me as if I needed to affirm that. No. We didn't decide that. Somebody decided, hey, Dario, Pop, you need to watch Tough Enough so that we can talk about it.
I'll say the one to really blame was probably our absentee partner, Connor Dorion, who suggested it. And I thought, that doesn't sound like a bad idea.
Sons, lesson number one, always blame the person that's not here.
So Connor did the honors last week by watching the show for us and doing a little intro. And he did not hype the show up very much. He said it was quite poor. But I thought, hey, we all have different opinions. Maybe you and I will watch it and one of us will like it. It did not go great. I did not love it. To put it kindly.
I think that's a great way of putting it. I gave it the first 15 minutes. I watched it intently. And then I started doing something else while watching it. That's a shout out to the WWE Supercard
yes.
application for either your iPhone or your Android.
Download now. Free. Yeah. Oh, and our boys in the booth are playing it right now. Good job, boys. These people on the show, Tough Enough, they might be the worst people in the world. Is that fair?
You know what? No. I don't want to blame them or anything like that. Chris Jericho, I love his hosting. We'll start off with Chris, if you don't mind. I think he does a fantastic job. He's some of the more funnier lines in the night. But this is not life or death. And I think everything that they wind up doing and saying makes it seem like, you know, this is life and death situation. And it's not.
Yeah. No, Dario, you make a good point. That, unfortunately, is sort of the lot of the reality TV show host. They have to, you know, they make mountains out of molehills. That's the way it is. I mean, look at Chris Harrison from The Bachelor. Bachelor and The Bachelorette, I guess. He's been
sorry,
doing
I wouldn't know.
I'm going to be talking about the reality check. This is really just a stealth advertisement for the reality check.
You know what? This is our homage.
Homage, yes.
Homage to the reality show.
There's some crossover here, right? Can't be avoided. So Chris Harrison, you know, the man's been doing the darn rose ceremony and he's doing that show. He's been the only host of that show forever. So you look at someone like him and that's what the best hosts do. You take something kind of ridiculous and silly and you do make it into something that seems like life and death. Even this reality show.
I'm not putting this all on Jericho because, sure. Like I said, I enjoyed his performance. One of the few of the people that I enjoyed. I'm just saying it's like the whole show makes everything so life and death about it. Coaches and that brings me to another thing. You know, you want to talk about the pioneer of reality shows is what? Probably Survivor.
Yeah, that's fair to say. Green.
And what was the host name? Do you know who the host name is?
Oh, Jeff Probst.
Ah, yes. Thank you, Little Alex. Or Little Al. Who else was there with him?
Nobody.
There's nobody there.
No.
It was him and the contestants.
It's a one man. It's a one man show. It's always been a one man show.
And for the best part, he did a pretty damn good job.
He's got like 10 Emmys, I think, to verify his credentials.
But Tough Enough, what do they have? They have two hosts, not one, in Chris Jericho and Renee Young.
Mm-hmm.
They've got three judges in Hogan, Daniel Bryan, and Paige. And they got three coaches.
Billy Gunn. Booker T.
And Lita.
And eight. And any guest coaches and personalities that they were going to bring in over the course of the show, yeah.
Exactly, which this week was the hunk Roman Reigns, which hopefully we won't get into.
So dreamy.
Yeah, so dreamy. But again, like, do you really need all those people there?
No, there's that old saying, too many cooks, right? And this is certainly a case of too many cooks. There's just, everyone doesn't even get enough time to shine, especially the judges who Connor mentioned before. It just seems like they're being fed lines or being, told to, keep a certain viewpoint. And it does just seem very flat and really boring. I almost wish we saw more of the trainers.
Yeah, I said that some of that was, better TV to watch or more entertaining. But, you get down to it. And like I said, out of all the people there, I understand they have their... I understand the hosts. I understand the three coaches that they have, all familiar with wrestling, right? But the judges, I understand Daniel Bryan. I understand Hulk Hogan. I don't understand Paige. Not that she can't do a good job. Where's the Divas division without her now? Like, why isn't she wrestling? She's the only one that can. And yet they moved her over to do this. I don't get it.
What was the women's match on Raw that night? I know I wrote it down here somewhere. It involved... Oh, you know what? Did Paige actually work that show that night? I feel like she did. Was it Paige?
I can't recall right now.
I do know the other
person.
No,
it was actually... It was a good... It was a decent
Divas
okay. match.
Oh, it was, because it involved my favorite Bella twin, Alicia Fox.
Alicia Fox. And was Alicia Fox against Paige?
So, yeah, so I'll get to that later. But you're right. But last week, she was off Raw entirely because she had show responsibilities. And she probably will miss further Raws because depending on...
What
how the Tough
doing.
Enough schedule is going. So it's very true. No, I see that. I for one, I do have a slight Paige obsession.
Slight?
It's documented. It's documented.
You have a huge Paige obsession.
It's slight.
Nothing wrong.
It's a minor obsession.
It's a huge obsession, nothing wrong with it.
It's tiny.
There's nothing wrong.
Barely measurable obsession. And
your jaw hits the ground every time she's on the screen.
That's not true at all. I always catch it before it hits the ground.
Okay, gotcha.
But, so for me, it's exciting to see any... other aspect of her personality outside of the show. I think it's cool, and I like to see her talk. I think she has a good personality, and yes, I also really enjoy watching her work, do what she does best, which is wrestle. But at the same time, anything that expands her brand, I think, is good for her and good for her fans, and hopefully new fans. So yes, it's a shame that she's not, she's being sort of torn in two directions right now, but it's okay. I think it'll work out in the end.
I'll give her that. If it increases her brand and her mm-hmm. popularity, and maybe shows a different side of her, then I'm okay with it. But like I said, it just didn't quite make sense to me.
Now, we talked about the hosts. We talk about the judges. We talk about the trainers. None of that would matter if it's not about... Because it's always about... Any good reality show is about the contestants.
And how over the top they
and
can
how,
be.
Yeah, how over the top they can be. How lovable. How sympathetic. How exciting. How funny. How rude. How... gross, anything that catches your attention, right?
How bad acting and how scripted.
Horrible,
oh, sorry, was
yes.
that out loud?
These people, Dario, they might be the worst people in the whole world.
He had mentioned that to me, and I went, no, they're not. And then I realized that maybe you are right. Because if they are who they portray themselves to be, then I really wouldn't want any of them to be my friends. Actually, there are two people that I would want to be my friends. And I'm not going to say who, because these are the only two people I'm actually cheering for. But other than that, would you really want to hang out with any of these people?
Not at all. Not in the slightest. They just seem terrible and boring and rude and not in an interesting reality TV show way. In a, I'd rather change my channel and not watch these people way.
Exactly. And they are, and Thor said it best.
You people are so petty. And tiny.
Let's start off with Biggest Alex. Biggest Al. This guy is huge.
Yes.
Okay, so there we have Little Al in the booth. We have Big Al in the booth here. Both Little Al, awesome. Myself, awesome. Alex from Tough Enough.
I'll let it go on that one.
Alex from Tough Enough, not great. Essentially, he gets into an argument with another cast member named Patrick. Patrick is a very knowledgeable WWE fan, and he's not afraid to share it. And somehow, it turns into some tiff between the two of them because Alex is not a knowledgeable wrestling fan. And he says, and I quote, "Knowledge means nothing," and then walks off with everyone pretty much just laughing at him.
Now, I mean, I understand what he was trying to say is that, you know, to win this competition, it's not the person that knows the most about wrestling. It's the person who can wrestle the best. And there is a bit of a difference. However, well, he's an idiot. That's why he said what he said. We all know that you need knowledge. And it's all about also, you know, paying respects to those that came before you. And you should know something about the wrestling business. You should know something about, you know, these icons that came before you. It makes you better at your craft.
Yeah, and like you said, it's really the respect thing is just huge. If you can't put in that basic level of consideration and research, and we're talking about any job that you apply for, how Correct. Is that employer supposed to take you seriously? Like, I don't care how good, how naturally skilled you are in a particular field. When you go to a certain company, you better show your commitment to that company before they hire you. Otherwise, they're not going to hire you. So, spoiler alert.
WWE just did that.
Spoiler, Alex does not make it to next week. He gets voted off at the end of the show, and I don't think that's a surprise, even if you didn't watch the show and you just heard us describe him right now.
I thought, actually, that he was going to stay on.
There was a chance, except because, when you saw... Oh, well, you will get to the voting, yeah.
Well, because he is that much of an idiot.
Right.
That he might make for good TV. And yep. I thought that's why, again, if it was rigged, which apparently it's not.
I don't think it is.
I don't think it is either. Kudos to the WWE Universe for picking the right one.
He would have had a better chance if he at least showed some aptitude towards the challenges. The first challenge of this episode, the first courage challenge, that being the theme of the episode, was called, they took them to a swamp. Dario, do you want to describe this one?
It was the swamp in the Florida Everglades. And I still can't think of the name of the boats that they use. I used to love these boats.
Airboats.
Airboats, right. I'm going across the top of the water there, fly. And
Archer also loves them. Your boy Archer loves airboats.
You know I'm going to have to find something.
Please do. That's a great episode.
Sure, yeah.
Because I've waited my entire life to say this exact phrase. I'm commandeering this airboat.
Sorry. Woo! It really is an emergency.
Of an awesome and ass-kicking nature.
They comes out through this airboat. They arrive in this secluded area, and what they have to do is swim to another boat that has these championship belts.
Yeah, NXT belts.
NXT belts that they're supposed to, you know, put around their waist somehow or hang on to it and then swim back.
Sounds easy enough.
Sounds easy, except dun, 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 dun. There are alligators and crocodiles and snakes in the water, and you know what? They could be eaten. They could die. I mean, it is so dangerous in there. They need this curtain. Did you buy any of it for a second?
Well, let me answer your question with a question. What diffused the danger for you more? Was it when Diana was like whining about some crocodile or alligator she saw that was clearly barely moving? It may have even been dead. That was like 100 feet away. Or was it at the end of the competition when some of the guys were struggling so much that the lifeguards had to dive in and save them? Which part made it seem less dangerous?
At the beginning when they said, this is dangerous,
mm-hmm.
That's when I went, yeah, the veil just came right off
there. You
were
not convinced.
And I was not convinced, and I went, oh my God, please don't. Yes, they went right ahead and said how dangerous it was again so often.
Oh, you were not bamboozled.
My God.
One bright side was ZZ, who struggled badly in last week's challenge. His whole gimmick is he's this good old Southern boy from the Bayou.
He's a Cajun. Yep.
Cajun, thank you. And so he was right at home with this one. He didn't win, but he did much better. He looked like he was having a great time. The only blemish was a little opening shot, and maybe this is in my head, but I felt like they put ZZ to the side while everyone else sort of was, you know, all these people have great physiques and are taking their shirts off and showing off their bodies, and poor ZZ is clearly the man, the odd man out. He's a very slovenly looking fellow. Sorry, ZZ.
Hey, he still has more charisma than any of those people.
More charisma, and again, did much better in the challenge than three people in particular. Well, four actually, and one of the women had some trouble as well. Alex, Mada, and Patrick will not be joining the Pan Am swim team anytime soon.
Or anything to do with water.
Oh, boy. That was... So, Patrick was really bad. Patrick barely made it offshore. And he admitted before, he said he can't swim. So, it's not like he was talking a big game before. He said he can't swim.
Kudos to him for getting in the water.
Oh, even doing it.
Yeah.
That's crazy to me. And he barely makes it off the dock. They throw him a life preserver very early on. He just... what was happening here?
Well, it was just at the... They didn't really throw it at him. They threw it a few feet away from him.
Sure.
And it's like, you know, make him go get it. And as he was trying to, you know, without insulting dogs, that wasn't a dog paddle either. He was maneuvering his body across to try and get to it. And the coaches were laughing at him because it just, the flotation device just kept moving further away. It was never getting. Finally, Lita had enough and just said, Patrick, stand up. And sure enough, he stands up and the water barely reaches his waist. It's like the entire time he could have just walked.
Oh, boy. Alex and Mata fared a little bit better, but they're these kind of huge, muscly guys. And, you know, I'm not a swimming expert, I think you've seen most Olympic swimmers. They have a certain body type. They're more sleek and
more
fit,
lean. Yes.
And more lean. These guys, I think after, you know, a lot of that thrashing and swimming, they blew up pretty fast.
Steroids. Little Al, why'd you say that?
Whoa. That's slander? Libel?
No,
I don't remember.
I can't say at all.
But they did have to be saved. Mata did have some sort of excuse after.
Well, I think they did make it to the boat, or at least we saw pictures of them on the boat after. But at the end of the show, when they said, well, you know, you couldn't even complete the challenge, he said, no, I would have completed the challenge, but Booker T told me that a storm was coming, and so I couldn't finish it. But I would have finished it. And Chris Jericho quickly cut him off and said, yeah, okay, but, well, you know, you didn't do it in enough time, and they moved on to something else.
The winners were once again Diana and Tanner. It looked like we're pretty sure Tanner probably finished first again. They just didn't really want to show it.
No, Tanner did finish first again.
He definitely finished ahead of Roman Reigns lookalike Josh.
And he pointed out Josh was upset because what some of the smart people... Did I say smart? What some of the contestants did was rather than dive straight into the water and head to the boat on the swimming line, they walked as far as they could along the shore to get as close to the boat, and then went in and started swimming.
And there was no rule against that.
Nobody said anything.
They even did that, I think, when they were going to the boat. Some of them ran along the shore as long as possible, and then until they had to jump into the water to swim to the boat, which is just smart.
Exactly.
That's not, like...
So Josh was complaining. He said that, well, the judges said that you had to come back the way you went out, and that's what he did. So, you know, Tanner can do whatever he wants. Is it a win? I'm not a liar. I won, basically.
We should also point out that Tanner is a professional mixed martial artist, and Josh was kind of stepping into him later. Now, Josh is considerably taller and bigger than him. I have a very good feeling if they fought, Tanner would probably beat him up in about 45 seconds.
Probably, yes, yeah. But it doesn't exclude the fact that they're both number one grade A jerks.
Oh, I like Tanner. Tanner's a jerk, but Tanner's a jerk I can get behind.
No.
Speaking of a couple of grade A jerks, Diana and Gabby... Who were at each other's throats last week. Diana is this woman who, she has this fiance. That's sort of the storyline they've settled with her. Gabby's this Brazilian. She practices jiu-jitsu, I believe. And she's
cute accent.
And she's got a nice accent. And Connor was not too kind with his words for her. He said she was an unpleasant woman in the house. Let's put it that way. So they were at each other's throats last week. This week, they've kind of united because everyone hates both of them. And Patrick was happy to step in there and say, hey, it's good you two are getting along. Now that you're making up, why not kiss? Kiss and make up. He's like, that's why it's called kiss and make up.
Kissing and make up, exactly.
This was so desperate and so creepy.
And seemed so scripted.
At least I hope it was, because I like Patrick. And it didn't end there, because then he said, after Diana
leaves,
rightfully stormed off, Patrick's like, hey, Gabby, well, you and I could always just kiss. I've got nothing but time, I think is what he said, which is, that's a great, boys, that is not how you charm women. That's not how you treat women.
That makes a girl feel good, eh? Yeah, I got nothing but time. I got nothing else better to do.
Nothing else to do.
You know what? I could play my WWE supercard, but you know, if you want to kiss, you know, hey, I'll, you know, I can do that.
Whatever.
Too.
So I wasn't crazy about that, but like you said, it's all scripted. I'm going to try not to hold it against them.
But but the girls just aren't as, you know, any better than the guys either,
mm-hmm.
right? Because they are. Is catty the appropriate word?
Yeah, certainly.
You know, like Daria, for example, she's complaining about how Diana and Gabby are now talking about her when, like, 10 minutes earlier, her and Amanda were talking about Diana. Like, seriously? Like, Seriously? You just don't realize what you're doing and you're complaining about somebody else doing what you just did?
This is so Natte and Kyle right now. I wish I could do the Natte laugh. I wish I could do the Natte laugh right now. If you've listened to the reality check, it's her signature. But I'm surprised to hear you say such bad things about Dario. I thought you were a fan of hers, Dario.
Listen, she was going to be like, I started watching the show and I went, you know what? I'm going to pick the one guy and the one girl from the beginning who I think is going to win and go from there. And what I decided to do was, as I'm watching the beginning, you know, they have the opening montage and they have the contestants and they have the names in there. And all of a sudden, without hearing anything, I saw, wow, Daria. Brunette, she looks nice, and her name is Daria. And I'm Daria. How can I not cheer for her? So I said, you know what? I'm picking Daria. Then she opened her mouth and started talking. And I went, maybe not so much.
She's not one of my favorite people on the show.
No.
I'll say it out to be fair.
And Diana's not a very nice person, and Gabby's not a very nice person, and Amanda, I don't know if she's a nice person or not, but she's not very bright. And all of a sudden, just started going down.
Amanda.
Well, I mean, but she does everything that Daria says.
Yeah.
Right. And they've even, I mean, yep. It's even the judges have called her out on it. So it's like I'm going like, really, who is left to cheer for?
You know who's nice.
There's only one person there that's nice.
Go ahead.
And she reminds me of Cake.
Yep.
Sarah Lee.
Sarah Lee. Love her.
Why do you love her?
She's cool. She seems normal.
Well, she hasn't said anything to...
Yes. Now, that might not be...
It might change.
Look, that might not be the stuff that reality TV stars are made of, you know? She might not be making any, like, magazine... Like, she's not even, you know, be making any tabloid covers anytime soon.
Exactly.
But she seems pretty normal and cool, and she's a very attractive young lady. I think that's fair to say.
And seems like she's got a level head on her shoulders.
For sure, so far. But like we said, any of these contestants could go bananas at any moment.
Correct.
So... just to stick with Diana for one more second, it gets so bad between her and some of the other girls that she has to leave her room, and she asks Zizi if he can switch with her. And I thought this was kind of funny. And she's like, "Can you be as gross and manly as possible? Can you just like fart and burp and just generally stink this room up? That would be great." So again, that was probably scripted, but I thought it was funny.
I was a little humorous, yes.
And then he said a comment because we had to say it now because he'll come back to it later. He says, He's like, I got to be careful with this pie, because when a pie is hot, it can burn you. He clarified this later, but he says, when they're hot, they can burn you, but when they're cool, they're really sweet. And I'm like, oh, that was nice. But for anyone who knows about the WWE's history with referencing pie, it's normally somewhat vulgar. But that's not where ZZ was going.
No, but again, and you want to switch. ZZ is the only guy that I'll cheer for there.
Mm-hmm. I think. He's very popular. I would imagine through the first two episodes, he has to be one of the most popular guys. He's got a distinct personality. He does seem genuine as you can be.
Correct.
On a reality show.
And we'll see how it progresses in terms of what his skills are like. Right now, I think in terms of wrestling skills, I think Patrick, in terms of the bumps, clearly outshone everybody else there.
That's a great point. Now, that transitions into what the next challenge was, which I had hoped was Bull Dempsey jumping off the top rope and sitting on everyone, which is how they demoed sort of taking a bump or what it takes to be hurt in the ring. But that was just an example, and I guess there would be some legal ramifications there. But even what they did, this was Courage Challenge number 2, even what they did I thought was extremely dangerous. We are not meant to believe that these people have any formal wrestling training, am I correct? Some of them clearly do. Patrick, I think, does. I think a lot of them don't.
Well, I think the ring itself, they had a softer mat on there.
One of them looked like they did. One of them, am I crazy? One of them looked like they did.
The one where they're off the top rope, it certainly
definitely
looked like.
Oh, you had to. Yeah. When I saw that they were doing that, so the second part of the challenge, just to explain to people, was, and also, you know, a bump is falling flat on your back in wrestling. The second part of the challenge was falling off the top rope onto your back. And I thought they were using a normal ring. And I thought, this is how people get killed. Like, you can't... I could not, for example, if you asked me to go and do that, I could not do that without probably getting injured.
No, and again, I think that they're smart enough that they would never put anybody in position, I don't think there's any alligators in the water swimming. But again, you look at it...
by that alligator corpse that they planted?
But man, some of these people are so awkward. Like Diana. Like, I mean... It was funny how they kept saying, I can understand if you don't want to do it, and if you don't want to do it, you don't have to. Those were Lita's exact words. And yet Diana's up there, and they're poking fun of her. Just fall back. Just fall back. Like, why can't you just fall back? Just fall back.
She also said she's scared of heights. She said she's afraid of swimming. She says she's scared of heights. She said the last episode that she was injured, too injured to do potentially do the challenge, but she also won. She's a gamer.
Well, yeah, and I think that's why she got called out on the third one. Being one of the three people to be called out, to be voted off. But again, oh, man, her bump there was so
was
bad.
She going, like on
no,
her
no,
butt?
No, no, no. When she came off the top rope, like, yeah, it came in like in two or three. Like, it was like, now I understand why you don't want to do this. And she may be the best diva right now in terms of her persona, but if she can't take a bump, then forget it.
When I saw her land like that, I was like, that's how people like jar their spines and like hurt their necks, get like whiplash, and then it just made me cringe. It was so, I thought it was such a bad idea for a challenge. If these people haven't had any formal training, like if this was not rehearsed beforehand and this actually was just some of these people taking bumps for the first time live, horrible idea.
Well,
I can't believe the WWE would do that.
Like I said, I didn't think that they would risk anything. I think they'd be fine with it. But I mean, is there anything else left? Because this Tough Enough is really getting on me.
The only thing I'll talk about is let's jump ahead to the final vote. So the finalists, I shouldn't say the finalists, the three bottom
three
choices, each of the judges pick one, were Alex and Sarah Lee and Diana.
Right. And I thought because a guy went out last time, I thought for sure a woman was going to go out this time.
And you thought?
For sure Sarah Lee, because Diana, as much as nobody likes her, people watch her. And I thought the same with Alex. So I thought Sarah Lee, unfortunately, would be the one to go. And I was very happy to find out she wasn't.
Especially since she hasn't been featured on TV. I honestly can't remember any memorable lines or scenes that she's had. So I thought, people don't even know who she is. Why would they vote for her? They'd more likely vote for Alex because of the train wreck factor, or Diana because of the train wreck factor.
But again, maybe because of the fact they'd vote for her because they didn't want to see the other two go. Because the one thing that Alex and Diana do that Sarah Lee could not in the first two episodes is they make who's ever watching them look good.
That's true.
Like, do you not feel better about who you are when you see somebody like Alex go, knowledge is nothing? Like, duh. I'm smarter than he is. Like, I mean, it makes you feel good. You need those people around you.
Yeah, another part of it was, so Sarah Lee's speech was all about how...
He's not here. When you're not here, you're the one that gets picked on.
Sarah did this whole speech about how, yeah, I probably haven't been featured on TV much because I haven't been causing drama, and that's just not who I am. I'm just going to be myself. And we should say, so the way the show works is they get 30 seconds to do a speech. Now, the weird thing about it is the voting ends right after the speeches are done.
It makes no sense.
How could the speeches have any effect on the voting when there's like a 30-second, maybe a minute 30 if you went first, window?
And did you notice, Alex?
He didn't get the full time. He got like 20 seconds. Because?
Because Chris Jericho asked him a question. Who would you rather see go off out of the girls?
And it was supposed to be before. He said, before you start, just give me, you know, let me know. But then they put the camera on him and the timer started going.
And the timer
right
started going.
So he got a little bit screwed. A little bit of a screw job. The Tough Enough screw job.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, gee, I wonder if this wasn't already planned.
So overall thoughts, not too impressed with the first two episodes so far.
No, but for all our fans out there, all four of you, maybe five, I will continue watching on your behalf. I will sacrifice my time. I will sacrifice my sanity. I will kill my brain cells for you.
This man.
That's how dedicated I am.
This man is a true professional. Let's do a little change of pace here, Dario. Let's cleanse our palate of Tough Enough, and let's bring in a full of a show of people we could not care less about. Let's bring in someone we do care about, your son, Alex Passarelli.
Hello, hello, everybody.
Okay, and are you sure that I care about him? Oh, wait, his mom might be
listening.
This
is being recorded.
Yes, yes.
This
yes.
is being recorded.
I care about both boys very much. But Alex, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good, and you, Dario?
Not too bad, not too bad. And I was about to say you can refer to me as Dad, but no, you can refer to me as Dario for this one.
Or you can call him Pop, which is what we all call him.
Everybody
here
calls me Pop.
Okay, Pop.
All right.
I like that.
So you started watching wrestling a little while back?
Yeah, I started watching wrestling during grade 5, and I stopped during grade 6.
It was a little longer than a year, wasn't it?
No, it was around a year.
Oh, okay. I remember quite fondly, maybe you don't, but there was a very special Christmas gift one year.
Yes, we went to go see a WWE event, not a Monday Night Raw, but it was during the summer we went to go see it.
A house show?
A house show,
that's
yes.
That's right. And we also, we paid for WrestleMania 29, 30? I can't remember right now.
29, yeah.
29? And who's some of the fights that we saw there?
Daniel Bryan, Dolph Ziggler.
That's right. Undertaker against...
And CM Punk.
CM Punk. That was a great match. That was a great match. So, yeah, so you're pretty knowledgeable. What did you like about wrestling?
I like about wrestling, about, like, well, I used to like it back in... Like, I watch replays sometimes, and I like back in the day when, like, there used to be blood everywhere, and Mick Foley would, like, kind of torture himself. It was really fun. It's really fun to watch that. Or TLC matches with the Jeff Hardys, the Hardy Boys.
Dario, what the...
He did that YouTube on his own. Oh, no. That's, he does that stuff when he's at his mom's house.
What kind of little psychopath did you bring into the booth?
So you said that you stopped watching. Why did you stop watching it?
I stopped watching because you moved over to Niagara Falls, and I usually always watched it when I was at your place.
No, I just said earlier you watched the YouTube at your mom's.
I used to watch YouTube at my mom's, and I stopped.
Oh, okay. So you're blaming me now?
Yes.
No, it's a good thing. It's a good thing that you stopped poisoning him with this.
What are some of your memories of wrestling?
Some guys you like. You said Mankind. Who else? Mick Foley. Sorry. Who else?
I like The Miz. I used to like his talk show.
Yeah.
And his...
He does a talk show. He does a talk show after Tough Enough, you know. It's called Tough Talk. You should watch that. And Tough Enough.
And he also is part of the... three-way match coming up, and I agree with you. I'm not usually not too crazy about The Miz, but with him and Ryback and The Big Show, I'm liking that match because of The Miz and what he brings to it.
It needs him. And you know I'm not the biggest Miz fan, but it needs him.
It needs him badly, and he's good.
Alex, what do you think of John Cena? He main evented the WrestleMania that we were just talking about.
John Cena, he's a really good, like, he's really good inspiration to like, to kids who are younger who watch wrestling, because he hasn't really turned into a heel anytime, and because, like, a lot of, he's, like, very inspirational to many kids, because he does the, something where, I forgot.
The Make-A-Wish.
Make-A-Wish, yes. Mm-hmm. He goes, like, kids who don't have any chance of kind of coming back from their disease, and he makes them feel happy and tells them a whole bunch of different things behind the scenes of WWE.
Yeah.
It's true. He does a phenomenal job that way. Now, do you think that he should turn heel?
No, he should not. I used to think that because I think it would be a really cool storyline. But then for the kids who, like, adore John Cena, it wouldn't be a good idea for them.
Oh, and you're not one of those kids then?
No, I'm not.
Are you too cool for John Cena?
Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
Well, John Cena, I think, is meant for younger kids, perhaps. Like, not kids my age, but a tiny bit younger.
Uh-huh.
Perhaps kids like my brother's age. And he just whacked me.
Yeah.
But I like people who kind of act a bit more and kind of talk, like, about things that aren't for younger kids' age.
Okay, Big Al? Do you mind if I take this one?
Please, by all means.
Okay. I'm going to talk here on behalf of my youngest son, JP.
Take it easy, Pop. Take it easy.
JP and Alex, do you remember the time that I took you to the house show?
Yes.
Yes. JP, if you want to come over here, do you remember I bought you both a certain something? Do you remember what it was?
It was a John Cena wristband.
Oh, Alex wanted a John Cena wristband. So you're saying that he's too cool for it? But no, they specifically requested the John Cena wristbands. Never give up. So that's how cool my son is.
I've been busted.
Don't worry. I own Britney Spears' Baby One More Time. So, oh, you don't even know what that means. But
I
bought it the day of, because she was visiting the mall in Markham.
Ooh.
If you can believe that. Once upon a time, she visited a mall in Markham.
So, yeah. So, nice try on the you're too cool for John Cena. When I remember you used to go to sleep with that wristband on. But anyways,
But I like that you tried to cover it up. Never let him see you sweat, Alex. That's right. Never let him see you sweat. Deny till you die.
And so you don't watch it. What? You said it'd take more blood and guts for it to come back, for you to come back and watch it?
Well, not just blood and guts, but like... more kind of entertainment, like more table ladders and chairs matches,
wow.
Or like table matches, smashing people through tables. Which, yeah, I guess leads to blood and guts, so kind of,
and
yeah.
Injuries.
And injuries, yeah. That's the unfortunate thing, that there have been a lot of injuries there. And I know that the wrestling has toned it down, and I think for the best that they have toned it down. But every once in a while, they still have TLC matches. I think it should be a special occurrence. I don't think it should be on every Monday Night Raw. Anyways, yeah,
guys,
so...
Guys, I'm so sorry you grew up with this. I'm amazed that you kids seem as clever and as funny as you are, considering who you grew up with.
Oh, the evil eye is just coming your way. The evil eye is coming your way.
I just complimented your children, and you're going to...
Yeah, at my expense.
Oh, well, I didn't even realize that. I would never do that, Dario.
I think I am.
I would never... That was totally accidental.
I'm not a contestant on Tough Enough. I know what's going on.
You are smarter than the average Tough Enough contestant. I will say that. I'll give you that for sure.
So
you like the ultra violence, Alex. You like the high risk stuff. Let me ask you something else. Do you know that Raw? I don't know if you watch Raw anymore. The show is 3 hours long.
Yeah. When I started watching Raw, I believe it was 2 hours.
Just two, yeah. Two solid hours. Can you imagine sitting down for 3 hours now and watching wrestling just for 3 hours?
Well, no, because I know like half of the matches are like complete, like are like heels against nobodies.
Just pointless. Sure.
No, I agree, but it does. The 3-hour format does allow for one thing. It allows me to do better on my WWE Supercard. There's a shout out once again for all of those. That's a great game, WWE Supercard.
If we get one person to subscribe to WWE Supercard and also to listen to the Reality Check podcasts, shout out Nate and Kyle. We have done our jobs with our podcast today, I think.
We have succeeded. Right. Yes. And shout out to Alex and JP.
Yep, for helping us out. And the youth, and if we get the youth of today to get back into professional wrestling, though not for the reasons that Alex is asking for, because I don't know if we'll see.
And I think maybe we'll enough one thing, but as JP is actually playing WWE Supercard as we
do this. He
certainly is. But Alex and JP, if you want to come in at any time, you're more than free to. It wasn't just Raw. We recently took you to an event, a Smash Wrestling event. And we sat in the third row for that one. It was my first time, and all of our collectively, going to a local independent show. And what did you think about that?
It was very interesting because the people don't get, you know, they don't get paid a lot of money like people do in the WWE. But I saw them trying harder than people usually could be in the WWE, because they need to put in more effort to get recognized to go into the WWE.
Yep.
So I like that more than most WWE things I see on TV.
You'd been to a show before. Were you that close at the other show, the previous wrestling shows you'd been to?
Well, I'm like close to the arena, kind of.
Yeah, close to the ring.
No, like the one at the house show that we went to.
The house show, we were like really far back.
Now you're making your dad out to be a cheapskate.
So when you were up close to the personalities and that up close to the ring, was it different? Did it seem a little different to you, like more impactful or more quote unquote real?
Yeah, it seemed more real, but sure. but it was also easier to detect like mistakes.
Yes, that's a good point.
Good observation there. And I know it wasn't a wrestling match, but what was the one thing you remember about that? I know Alex didn't like the big Al didn't like this at all.
Not a fan.
But little Al kind of cracked up.
So the one guy said like if everyone who could donated money was able to like smack/like chop this guy in the stomach.
In the chest.
The chest. It was kind of, there was some blood.
It was like, oh, there definitely was.
There was a lot.
So it was interesting and I liked it.
So Vince McMahon, do you hear that? We want to see someone getting chopped for 30 minutes on Raw, okay? And then you'll get yourself the youth viewers back.
And
that's official.
For those that weren't aware of, what had happened is as their halftime show entertainment, they tried to raise some money. And you could have, like Little Al said, donate some money and you get to step in the middle of the ring. And one of their stage crews,
Trevor,
was willing to take 100 chops to the chest. That's right, 100 chops to the chest. And wrestlers came back in and started chopping him as well as fans. And his chest was red. You can see there wasn't any cuts, but you could see below the skin that some vessels were blood vessels were popping. It was sad. It got to the point. It was so bad that when they got to
50,
the crowd was chanting for him to stop. They didn't want to push it to 100. I mean, it was bad at 50. Forget 100.
We should add, this was extra gross because this was at the E-Zone in Etobicoke, I believe. or of the Sports Zone in Mississauga. The Sports Zone in Mississauga. And the Sports Zone is a complex featuring a lot of other sports. There's like two huge soccer fields.
Indoor
hockey,
soccer.
Yeah. And everyone, there were several other people not at the show who were like watching from their areas, sort of, and from the bar. There's a bar
upstairs
up there too,
yep.
Watching like, what the heck is going on? Like a guy is just being brutalized in the ring. Even if they knew it was a pro wrestling show, they were probably just like, what is happening? Why is this being allowed? So it was, I thought it was awkward.
It was still funny. Kudos to you, Trevor, but never again.
Oh,
please.
I guarantee you, Trevor was the thrill of his life, too. I think the one who enjoyed it the most was Trevor. That sounds strange, but I think he loved it.
And if you go to our Facebook page, As the Hill Turns Facebook page, I will try by week's end to actually put up a copy of the picture that we have of Trevor's chest. And actually, it was Tyson Dukes taking a selfie with Trevor.
Oh my
gosh. So I'm taking a picture of Tyson Dukes taking a selfie of himself and Trevor. So
I want to say something about chops just quickly. Bret Hart in his book said he hates chops. He hated chops because the nature of professional wrestling is you're supposed to be pretending to hurt each other. You're not really hurting. Now, it hurts. Every time you fall, it hurts. Every time a guy, you know, maybe clothesline you, hurts a little bit. But these guys do everything in their power not to hurt the other person. There is literally no way to do a safe chop. If you're getting chopped, it is going to sting like a bee. And there's no way to fake it.
That actually works.
Sure.
Sting like a bee.
I was going to, you know.
That was good.
Might have
that was really good.
In there, but anyway. And Bret Hart says, if you are getting chopped, the only person dumber than the one giving the chop is the one taking it. Because he's like, and not that I've seen matches where he's done chops, but I also understand where he's coming from. So I like chops. Don't you know, I'm like anybody else. I see that chop and I go, woo, you know, I get excited, but I understand why it's kind of silly.
I agree. Chops are great when they work. When that sound carries, there's nothing better as a fan in terms of hearing that. But sometimes it's not the slap, it's the thud. And that makes you cringe so much.
Oh, when you don't get that crisp sound. And it sounds like someone just got punched.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. What do you think of chops, Little Al? I'm sure you ever seen some chops? Seen a good chop? You've seen many on that day.
I saw many on that day, but I haven't really noticed any other chops. Only when it makes like a big noise, like you guys mentioned. It's kind of cool. It makes me feel like, really cool when I hear like a big whack noise. It's really interesting.
I thought we were bringing your son in to provide a less, like a more, you know, I thought he would be a PG fan, a new kind of PG. He is not a PG.
You didn't ask me ahead of time.
Boy.
He's mean to me to a large degree. My other son, though, JP, who's in the background here, a little shy, but he just reminded me of one of the other fun things about going to a local show like Smash Wrestling. And that's when they do the count in the audience. Because we know in wrestling, nobody ever wins 1, 2, 3 on the very first time. I shouldn't say not. Sometimes that happens, but very rarely. There's usually a lot of two counts. And so the referee go 1, 2, and the rest of the audience will go 2. And they hold up two fingers. And that's a lot of fun, especially when they do that over and over again in the same match. And the audience goes 2. Love it.
Yeah, the Smash Wrestling audience, one of the best wrestling audiences you'll find anywhere as far as being involved in the product and the matches. I mean, it's amazing. Alex, any final thoughts? Anything else you'd like to add about wrestling fandom? Maybe, you know, plan to come up with a show to us or watch some Raw in your own time, watch some Tough Enough. What do you think?
Raw is a bit past his bedtime. He has to watch the Tuesday replay.
It is past everyone's. It's 3 hours long. 3 hours.
I might start to watch that reality show just because of your reactions. Kind of interesting.
No, don't. Don't. It's so bad.
Do it. You can't. You guys can't see me right now. I'm rubbing my hands together.
Alex, still watch Survivor. So, and what did your mom introduce you to recently?
Big Brother.
Oh, God.
No, I actually kind of, I said, my one of my teachers watched it. I'm like, oh, it sounds interesting. So then I asked mommy if I could watch it. And she's like, yeah, sure.
Yes. Yes. Yes, that's not my impression of Daniel Bryan. Saying it's the school's fault, not the parents. See?
It's still my dad's fault.
Do you want to have some dinner?
This is all being recorded, Dario. This is all. Can you speak that not into the mic?
Because if, you know, you can take that back or not, and I won't feed you. It's not against the law.
This took a nasty turn.
Well, the both of you are ganging up on me. The only one that's on my side is JP.
I don't have a side. I'm always impartial.
Oh, and now JP is questioning it too. I am getting bookended by Alex's.
I don't have a side. I'm friends with everyone.
That is bull.
That is absolute bull. I'm impartial. I've never taken a side ever.
Ever. That's why. I mean, he's not even here, and you still call Connor the most beautiful man. And I'm like,
that's in his contract.
It's
in his contract.
To me, it's like I'm the stuff that gets stuck on your shoe, and you go, oh, really?
That's
what you make me feel like.
I always mention the Pop and Joe show, the original podcast.
Right.
Let me segue something since you mentioned Big Brother. Are you watching this season, young man?
What, sir?
Are you watching Big Brother this season?
I watch Big Brother Canada. I'm not watching a normal Big Brother.
Oh, the American version currently has a professional wrestler named Austin Mattelson, otherwise known as Judas Devlin, who used to be signed to NXT, but was released.
That I did not know.
And a previous season of Big Brother produced current TNA wrestler Jesse Godders.
Interesting.
Do you see how I do that? How I bring everything?
You tie everything together. And basically, reality, wow, what a concept.
Let's briefly, I know we don't want to.
We should get into Raw.
A little bit.
And Little Al, thank you so much for your participation.
Thank you, Little Al. Little Al can be next seen at enjoying his summer vacation or just anything you want to plug? The only thing you want to plug on our show?
Hold on.
Bye?
Well, yeah, you can say bye and you're welcome. I'll edit it in after.
Bye and you're welcome?
You're not editing any of this out. This is gold. This is gold.
I don't even know what I'm doing right now.
Alex? Little
yes.
Al?
Yes. I'm right here.
Get out of here.
Still here.
Get out of here.
Bye and you're welcome.
Now, I thought Raw was one of the most enjoyable Raws in a while. I actually was not taking a lot of notes. Now, Dario, here's the question. Here's a little chicken and egg question. Was I not taking notes because I was enjoying Raw so much, or did I enjoy Raw so much because I wasn't distracted by taking notes?
It's a good question.
I don't know.
I think it always starts with Raw. Because if Raw is not entertaining, then we do other things. We will play WWE Supercard. We will look at other shows. We will find whatever else we can do rather than just watching Raw.
I've read a
book. Or write notes.
I've read a book while watching Raw before. That's how dire it is.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me. But no, it was a very good rendition of Raw. It was.
And we'll just go over some of the highlights quickly. The opening segment with Seth Rollins giving gifts to his authority team members. If you had told me that Seth Rollins a year ago could carry a segment like that, I would have not believed you. Not that he was terrible, but he always seemed, I think people would agree, his personality and mic skills were the weakest part of the package, of an otherwise spectacular package.
I'd agree.
Phrasing. But on Monday, it really was, you know, maybe some of the jokes didn't land. He's not that funny of a guy. Maybe some of the lines, you know, not everything landed, but I thought he did his job perfectly from what I could tell. The crowd didn't react to everything, but it was such a long segment, you can't expect them to react to every line.
Right? And that's a Raw thing. That's not a Seth thing. That's not a for Seth the opening thing. Being a bit long. But no, I thought he did a great job in terms of setting everything up and setting it that something was going to happen, too.
I'm just so impressed with him. And he gave, what did he give J&J Security, Dario?
He gave J&J a brand new car. Is it a Mercedes?
A Cadillac.
Cadillac.
Sweet caddy. And we all said, well, that's not going to make it to the end of the show.
Nope. And he gave Kane a trip to Hawaii, a vacation. Yeah. It was very needed for the 16-year veteran.
And as soon as you saw that someone playing a ukulele, you thought?
I thought somebody was going to get smashed with a ukulele. I was. That was one thing that I was hoping for. And then you tweeted out, you were the first one to tweet out about the car.
Was it me? I think I retweeted a comment by someone, I think like Lance Storm maybe, or someone else. I think someone else made a comment, I retweeted it.
Listen, nobody else was going to back up and check. They would have believed me when I said that you were the first
integrity.
One to tweet it.
I have too much integrity.
No, trust me, Alex, you need it. You should have just stuck with it. They would have fallen for it.
But by the end of the episode, Dario, how many ukuleles were destroyed?
Zero.
And how many Cadillacs were destroyed?
Sadly, zero.
Shocking. Now,
I was happy about it, too, because, it worked. It made it work.
It's just too... Now, will the Cadillac be destroyed someday? Yeah, probably.
Well, you know what else I was thinking this week? is that they might even forget about the catalog entirely now.
They would not. That's their new gimmick for J&J.
Well, I was just wondering how much Cadillac paid WWE for ever. No, they wouldn't do that, would they?
I don't know how these things work whenever they bring in one of those fancy cars.
I'm sure it's a promo kind of thing.
Yeah. But either way, more anything that's more exposure for J&J security makes me laugh. And I want those J&J security t-shirts, WWE. Let's get on this. Some sort of merchandise, please, for me to show my allegiance to these guys.
Exactly. Especially like for short, overweight people like myself. They're idols, man.
If they had noble...
Short, overweight, elderly people like myself.
Oh, stop. If they had Noble and Mercury shirts, you would be Noble, probably. Is that fair to say? I would be Mercury?
We can go that route. But I thought, like, isn't Mercury have less hair?
That's a good point.
So,
and actually, my hair is not that different from Noble's, now that you mention it.
So, from a hair perspective, from a follicle perspective, you know, it might be the other way around. But I can see myself Noble. And
Noble's a hillbilly, or he's a hick, and I love the South, so that'd be kind of cool. We mentioned before, another highlight was, surprisingly, Paige, Alicia Fox. They have great chemistry. They've wrestled many, many times. Great chemistry. Paige actually got a win. That was nice.
And the match was longer than 2.5 minutes.
It did. It went a commercial break.
They had a commercial break through it. My God.
And it did something interesting, which they did last week, too, is they're suddenly doing... They're going from segment to segment without a commercial break. So last week it was the primetime players had some sort of match, and then as they were going to the back, someone else came out. I don't know if you remember this.
Yep.
And then this week it was Paige and Alicia Fox and the Bellas match finished up, and then John Cena came out right away. So it's kind of interesting that they're sort of doing their commercial breaks in a different place, and it's weird. You know, the thing with commercial breaks is it neatly segments everything. Well, I guess that's why they're called segments. Wow.
No.
What?
No, I think this makes more sense, actually.
Right. Why?
Same with the... I'll go back to TBS, Turner Broadcasting System. Their shows, they start at what time?
Oh, you like 07 or something. 05. 05. Or 05.
Why? Because they want the thing to carry over.
Yeah.
So then that way... While all the other shows are going through their commercials and stuff, people are watching mm-hmm, them, mm-hmm. and it segues into mm-hmm. that. Same thing, I think, with
it
this.
Could be part of it.
Right? Yeah. In the middle of a match, if you actually are interested in the match, you're going to stick around. And meanwhile, if you do it at the end of a match and segue in between, you're going to go, oh, I have no idea what's coming up next. I'm going to go see what else is on TV, and I might not come back. But if the Bellas are leaving and all of a sudden you see John Cena coming, you go, there go the brakes, and I'm going to stick around.
That's an excellent point, because I don't know how many times I've changed the channel because it's a commercial and actually like forgotten to come back to Raw, you know, to catch maybe another sporting event, some other show that has to be on, and missed like 20 minutes of Raw.
Exactly.
Just because I forgot, because I changed the channel. But you're right. I did absolutely stuck around when I saw John Cena come out, and I'm glad I did, because he had a match with Cesaro and they tore the flipping house down.
Wow. I mean, first of all, we tweeted this out enough, but enough cannot be said about John Cena and his participation in this. We have also mentioned on the show before how much Cesaro has... We've loved Cesaro in terms of what he can bring in terms of wrestling. And I think his microphone persona is slowly increasing. But what a match. What an absolute treat of a match. And not only the match itself, but to have Kevin Owens on commentary.
Oh.
And completely destroy... Michael Cole and
Lawler and poor Byron.
Oh, no, Lawler wasn't there.
Oh, I'm sorry. What did I say? Michael Cole and JBL.
And yeah, JBL was actually in cahoots with Kevin Owens and stuff like that. But again, that entire segment was so well done.
And he didn't overdo it. You know, sometimes guys are on commentary and you can tell they're sort of just trying to get out whatever lines they've been told to get out, and it just seems very uncomfortable. He's just very natural. He just seems like he was doing commentary, but at the same time getting his digs in here and there.
Exactly. It was part of his conversation. It's like being an athlete, not that I'm an athlete, but being an athlete, being part of a team, there's always fear of people that try and do too much. You know, if you play your game, if you play within yourself, then that's usually when you shine. And I think that's the one great characteristic about Kevin Owens, is that he's always within himself. He doesn't try and do something that he's not. He doesn't try and do something too much that's out of who he is. It's always within himself. And he becomes so believable at everything he does.
He really knows how to keep it in the pocket, as they say on American Idol. We're on a big reality TV show kick here, so I got it. I had to throw my former show Idol in there. But yeah, it was a great segment overall. I like the non-finish. Cesaro, I like him using the sharpshooter as a submission finish, and that's great. And then Owens coming in just ruining everything. And then taking them both out with pop-up power bombs.
And rightfully so, because nobody else is going to beat John Cena but me.
It was really well-booked. And it was really... What I really liked about it was, look, if you watch it again, you'll see when Cesaro comes out, the crowd's kind of like, okay. Like, they're not... It wasn't a crazy reaction for Cesaro.
Before Tyson Kidd got hurt, sorry to interrupt, but before Tyson Kidd got hurt, they were technically faces, were they not?
Yeah, yeah.
So this was a face versus face.
It's essentially a face versus face match.
It didn't have that feel to it. It still felt like Cesaro was a heel, did it not?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay.
And the thing is, I understand why, because as a singles wrestler, he's been booked into oblivion. So when you just see just Cesaro come out, you're kind of like, oh, okay. And so it wasn't a great reaction, but as the match built up, the crowd totally got into it. It was, again, like I said, it was a scorcher. It was an amazing match. So many great moves. And I tweeted this out, and it was that some people can talk. I wasn't just overly complimenting Cesaro. It was actually a little bit of a criticism, because his mic skills are not the greatest. Let's be honest here. But some people can talk. Some people tell a story in the ring. If you had never seen Cesaro before, and this is your first time watching Cesaro and Cena, I guarantee you he would capture your imagination with the way they wrestled. He tells his stories in the ring. You don't need to be able to talk when you have that ability. There's been so many great... Bret Hart, for the first part of his career, was not a great talker. He became good later on, I think. He was not a great talker, but he always told his story in the ring, and that's why he's one of the most celebrated wrestlers of all time. So I know it's a different era. I know the agenda of the WWE is different, but if they can't see that Cesaro is a main eventer just based on his ability to put in that work and capture the audience's imagination, then it really frustrates me.
Now, I'm going to throw something at you here. Not literally. Maybe later.
I'm ducking my head.
And see if you feel the same way, but we love the way Cesaro wrestles, you know. And there's one thing about him that they're not exploiting. You look at a lot of the wrestlers out there that are physically fit and have the physiques and the muscle bounds and everything like that. We know Cesaro is strong. He's proven it. Not just strong. He is very bleeping strong.
One of the strongest the company has ever had.
But he's not built like a strong man. He almost looks like, and again, honor and homage to Dusty, he looks more like a common. He looks more like an everyday man.
I mean, he's got a fit, he's fit body.
Don't get me wrong.
Not like a Batista. He's not like an Ultimate Warrior.
Exactly.
A Rick Rude. You know, he's not like jacked.
Built, jacked. Mm-hmm. Or Paul Orndorff, ripped and stuff like that. He's very fit, but he looks like an average man.
Mm-hmm.
How can you not, but that's gold. Absolute gold.
They don't see it that way.
Not yet, anyways.
Let's lightly touch upon some things, but there is one more segment I want to get in depth on. Just give me a yay or a nay for some of these things. How do you feel about the Bray Wyatt, Roman Reigns stuff?
I knew Bray Wyatt was going to come in on the match for the finale, the main event, and I still thought they impressed.
What about the 8-man tag with Lucha Dragons and Primetime Players versus Bo Dallas and New Day?
I think I was playing a little WWE Supercard.
It was a very fun match.
But I will say this. Bo fits in with New Day. I like Bo fitting in there.
Oh, a natural.
And you have the power and the Lucha Dragons and the Fly High Flying. It could make some interesting. I'm all for it. I'm all for that.
I was going to bring this up, but I think this requires a more in-depth conversation. But you had mentioned to me that you're somewhat starting to... Sheamus wrestled Neville, and he actually won cleanly. And Wade Barrett also won a match cleanly that night. This has to be the first time in forever that the King of the Ring winner and Money in the Bank winner actually won matches cleanly. Anyway, but Sheamus and Neville, you enjoyed that segment. And this is a discussion probably to be had further in the future. Like, what went wrong with Sheamus over the last few years? Can it be fixed? And what do you actually like about him now?
I wish I knew. I wish I knew. I don't know if it's the look that he has that I'm getting more used to it with the beast-like quality about him. He's more believable as a beast, and I see him as I originally saw Brock Lesnar coming in and just literally destroying people. And when he's not destroying people, he just loses all believability in my eyes. So what he did last on Monday night was good. I wanted him. It was the first time I actually wanted him to just crush an opponent, and he actually got to crush an opponent.
Yeah, I would love to see him go on a nice lengthy win streak, if just to build up the fact that if he, like, you know, because when I cash in, like, I haven't lost a match in 6 months, so that means when I cash in, I'm not going to lose that match either, and I'm going to become the champion, right?
Exactly.
Build him back up as a threat again. It sounds simple, but you know them, the company, who knows?
They just need to find the right, I'm not going to use the word fodder, but the right victims for him.
Now, let's get to what we really want to talk about.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Dolph Ziggler, Lana, Rusev, and also Summer Rae. This segment was either the worst babyface segment of all time or one of the greatest heel promos of all time. I honestly don't know.
To me, it looked like they were trying to set up Dolph and Lana as heels. That's the way I interpreted it.
And frankly, the way it was written, I don't know if there's any other interpretation. Can I go on a little rant here?
Sure.
Pop. So here's and again, this is continuing the theme of Pop saying that Dolph and Lana would become heels in this scenario should this, you know, love triangle with Rusev ever, you know, occur. And I thought it was insane. I said, Rusev is clearly a natural born heel. This is not a situation where he's going to be a face because he's, you know, he's a bad brutish guy. Dolph Ziggler, people seem to like him. I underestimated a few things. For one thing, they started dressing alike now. They both have like a bun in their hair. And if there's, you know, if there's one thing nobody finds annoying, it's when couples start to dress alike. Right, Dario?
Oh, God, yes.
We all love it. We love when we see couples dressing alike. It's amazing. It's so cool.
Give me a toilet to throw up in.
So that was bad. Then the promo goes something like this. Dolph says, hey, look, the way this started off, yeah, Lana and I were just using each other. She was using me to get back at her boyfriend. And I got a little, you know, I got to make out with a hot babe. And I'm like, okay, that's not evil. That's not evil per se. It's a little douchey, to use a non-journalistic term. It's a little douchey.
It's a lot douchey.
It's a lot douchey. And again, if you knew people like that in real life, you'd be like, I'm not crazy about these people.
I don't want to hang out with them.
I don't like them. Rusev comes out with Summer Rae, his new sort of, I don't say girlfriend necessarily, but his new valet.
Friend.
And that's what I like about Summer Rae. She really actually seems like she's his friend. She's there to support a guy who's fallen on some pretty hard times.
She made me believe Rusev more.
So Ziggler's taunting Rusev, and then he says, it's some threat to the effect of, and you better back up, otherwise I'm going to do something to your new girlfriend. And I'm like, wait a minute. I'm like, okay, at best, he's saying he's going to ditch his current girlfriend and make out with this other woman. Okay, which is bad. At worst, it's a threat of physical violence.
Against a female, yes.
Against a female. And then keep in mind this. Rusev is currently on crutches. So when Ziggler is challenging him, every time Ziggler challenges him, he's challenging a one-legged man to a fight. And then
something faces usually tend not to do.
You should avoid that, I think, if you want people to get on your side. And Summer Rae then even she has to speak for Rusev because Rusev gets he gets upset and like he goes like, I never cared about you, blah blah blah. But it really comes off as a guy who's just hurt. And then
Summer Rae
has to speak up for him. She's like, no, he really did care for you. Like it's almost like she's saying he's too proud to say it. He's too hurt. And she came off as the biggest babyface in the whole thing, which is
absolutely incredible. And it made. Like I said, she made Rusev more believable just by stating that simple fact that, you know what? He really did care for you.
Now, Pop, you know it's killing me every time we bring this segment up. I love it because I love the drama.
What's killing you?
It's killing me that you you, Dario, Pop Passarelli, were. You were.
And don't do an Arthur Fonzarelli. You can say it.
You're right.
You know what? I didn't get it. Sorry, the mic levels were down. Can you say it one more time? And just go ahead.
You were right.
Okay. Now this hasn't ended, so we're still currently in the segment. So can you stop with the past tense and say it in the proper present tense? Can you? Go ahead.
You are right. Now,
it's going to be my new phone.
I shouldn't have spoken so darn my excellent elocution. Let me add a disclaimer. This is a new day situation, okay? This was not on purpose. Do not tell me that this was their plan all along. I don't believe it.
No. I think the injury had a lot to do with it.
Yeah.
I think the injury was the main thing that spurred him in this direction. And I think it's fantastic for Rusev. We know he can wrestle. It looked like he can do an awesome job wrestling. We were a little unsure about his ability on the microphone. Or sorry, Connor was a little unsure.
Oh, and Connor still says he can't act. But I've seen some of those facials from Rusev. Man, that dude's acting.
There's a lot of stuff there that can be worked with. Very worst case scenario, there's a lot of stuff there that can be worked with. And so I'm all positive for that. The one thing, though, that I was afraid of for Rusev was that he was going to get stuck in a certain type of role that he couldn't get out of. And lo and behold, guess what? He's not stuck in that anymore. If he can continue this for a while, he can always... I mean, can you imagine? Can you imagine? No, it won't be at Macho Man Elizabeth stature yet.
I'm getting choked up.
But can you imagine
Mania 7? I'm getting choked up.
Lana and Rusev getting back together.
Like he has a new valet.
He's
she
so
turns
beautiful.
On him. Oh, it just killed me. Let's
and they can do that as either faces or heels.
I'm gonna give myself some credit though. I said he could be the new Kane, and I stand by that. And it's segment and it's angles like this that could lead to him becoming the new Kane. Dare I think we're just about ready to wrap up here. It's been a really fun show. I'm glad we managed to have our second and third guest so far. So, you know, hopefully we'll bring in an actual wrestler someday. But until then, let's say a hearty thank you to your boys.
Yes, thank you. Say thank you to...
thank you to our boys.
Alex, who's gone off the deep end, and to my youngest son, JP.
You're welcome.
For what? You didn't say anything.
I don't know. I was sitting there playing Supercard, you know?
Oh,
I'm amazing.
Shout out to WWE Supercard. It's a fantastic
this podcast
game.
Brought to you by WWE Supercard.
You did a lot. You did a lot.
Exactly. JP. I spoke at the beginning. I said hello.
This is going to be everyone's favorite part of the show. This lasts like 2 minutes of JP talking.
Exactly. And he should be talking more because he's great at it.
But no.
Who's your favorite wrestler?
I don't have one.
Good one.
Signing off for Pop and the Passarelli Clan, I'm Alexander K. Lee, and join us next time for another episode of As the Heel Turns.
And for once, I actually get to say, be good, boys, and they're here.
Yes.
So be good, boys.
Walk through the valley of the shadow, armor on, ready for battle, looking through of a tiger, no fear, cold like a sniper, iron fist, that's how I run this, from the streets climbed up to the summit, I've been the hunter, I've been the hunted dog.